Our scripture reading this Lord's Day is three verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter, one of the epistles you find near the end of the New Testament. Let's now give careful heed to the Word of God as here recorded for our spiritual benefit. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. May God bless to us the reading of His Word, and to His name be the glory and the praise. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the reading of Your Holy Word, inspired Word, Your inerrant Word. And Lord, we pray that You'll enable us to hear Your Word, to give ear to Your revealed will. For we know, Lord, from the book of Job that the ear tests words even as the palate tastes food. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear Your Word and give us a taste for its message that we may be spiritually nourished today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did the Old Testament prophets ever prophesy about events that would happen in the church age? If you had asked that question 200 years ago, practically every serious student of the Bible would have answered, yes, of course, the Old Testament prophets prophesied about events that would happen in the church age. And the same would have been true 500 years ago. The same would have been true 1,000 years ago. But that was then, and this is now. Today, many American evangelical Christians would answer no to that question. They would answer, of course not. No Old Testament prophecy can refer to the church age because all the Old Testament prophecies were Jewish prophecies. And Jewish prophecies must be fulfilled by Jews in a Jewish age. The Christian age, they say, will end with the rapture of the saints, when all the Christians who are alive at that time will be removed from the earth, and when all the Christians are gone, the old Jewish age can be resumed. And then, and not until then, Jewish prophecies will be fulfilled by Jews in the Jewish age. No Old Testament prophecy can be fulfilled until after the rapture of the saints. That's what they now say. That's what they now argue. Well, they are correct that the New Testament teaches a coming rapture of the saints. Orthodox Christians have always believed in a coming rapture of the saints, and they still do. The rapture is when all the living saints on earth will receive resurrection bodies without experiencing physical death and will rise to meet Jesus in the air. That's taught in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The new teaching is that the rapture will happen 7 years before the second coming. The old teaching is that the rapture will happen at the second coming. The new teaching began to be taught in the early 1800s. The new teaching didn't become popular until the 20th century. Now, just because an opinion is new doesn't mean that it must be wrong. Yet there are some serious difficulties with this modern claim that no Old Testament prophecy can refer to the church age. The difficulties of certain statements in the Scripture that are relevant to this question. Many regard the beginning of the church age to be the Pentecost of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was first poured out in New Covenant fullness, and on that very day in his sermon, the Apostle Peter said, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Now that certainly sounds like an Old Testament prophecy was on that day being fulfilled on the very first day of the church age. This, what is happening this very day, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, then later the question arose as to whether Gentiles had to become Jewish proselytes in order to become genuine Christians. Well, a council was called in Jerusalem to answer that question. The Apostle Peter told about how God had called him to preach to the uncircumcised Gentile Cornelius, and how God had poured out his Holy Spirit on believing Gentiles that day, just as God had poured out his Holy Spirit on believing Jews at Pentecost. And then the Apostle Paul and Barnabas testified about the many miracles and wonders that God had worked through them among the Gentiles, those uncircumcised people. And then James, the half-brother of Jesus, James, a pillar in the church at Jerusalem. James capped off the testimony by saying this, Acts chapter 15, verse 15. And with this, here's James talking, "And with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." And then James quoted a prophecy from the Old Testament prophet Amos, a prophecy that referred to Gentiles who are called by God's name in the age of the Messiah. That certainly sounds like James thought that an Old Testament prophecy was being fulfilled in the church age. Perhaps most convincing of all is what the New Testament has to say about the New Covenant. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah prophesied a new covenant in which God's law would be written on the hearts of God's people. In Hebrews chapter 8, the inspired writer said that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. And then the inspired writer quoted extensively from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah's new covenant prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 31, an extensive quotation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul spoke of his ministry in terms of the language of Jeremiah's new covenant prophecy. The Apostle Paul said that in his ministry, God was writing not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And the Apostle Paul contrasted his ministry with that of Moses when the law was engraved in stone. Well, that certainly sounds like Old Testament prophecies are being fulfilled today in the church age. And then there is our passage for today. Our passage for today says that the salvation of our souls through the grace that has come upon us, that this was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. Well, we'll consider our text today under three headings. The prophets spoke, the prophets searched, the prophets served. First, the prophets spoke. Our text says that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of the grace that would come to New Covenant believers, and that the Old Testament prophets testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, this is consistent with what Jesus himself said earlier. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to two disciples who were traveling from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. And the two disciples were discussing their sadness over Jesus' tragic death, their despair about Jesus' ministry being cut short, and their bewilderment over reports that Jesus' tomb was empty. Then the resurrected Jesus joined them without their recognizing him. And after listening to them, Jesus said this, and I quote from Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. Jesus speaking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, when Jesus disappeared, these two disciples returned to Jerusalem and reported to the 11 apostles and those with them what had happened. And then Jesus appeared again there in Jerusalem and said this, Luke 24, verses 44 to 46. Jesus said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. According to Jesus, the Old Testament is primarily about him. We believe that Jesus was correct in that. The theme of the Bible was given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's a part of God's curse upon the serpent who represented Satan when he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. Here's what God said to the serpent, or part of what God said to the serpent. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is a promise of a coming seed of woman who would do battle with Satan and defeat him. And by defeating Satan, the seed of woman would free God's people from Satan's tyranny, a tyranny that had become possible because of Adam's sin. And the prophesied seed of woman is, of course, Jesus, who is the seed of woman in a most literal sense. By a miracle of God, he was born of a virgin with no human father. He is the seed of woman. And in this conflict, the seed of woman would be injured. His heel would be bruised as he crushed the head of the serpent. And Jesus' heel was literally bruised in that his hands and feet were nailed to a Roman cross. Yet Satan's head was bruised, and that was fatal for Satan as the ruler of this world, as the prince of the power of the air. By dying on the cross and thus satisfying God's just demands against the sins of the saints, Jesus deprived Satan of any power over the saints. Of course, Adam and Eve didn't understand all of these details when they first heard this gospel promise in its earliest and simplest form. Yet all the details are what that prophecy was referring to in its simple assertions. And this prophecy is developed in so many ways throughout the Old Testament. There were the sacrifices that pointed to the need for an atoning death, and the blood of bulls and goats do not take away sin. There was the promise to Abraham that his seed would be a blessing to the nations. There was the promise to King David that God would establish the throne of the kingdom of David's son forever. And Jesus is the son of David. Psalm 22, often called the Psalm of the Cross, together with the suffering servant oracle in Isaiah chapter 23, they prophesy Jesus' suffering. And the vision of the Son of Man approaching the Ancient of Days on a cloud in Daniel chapter 7, that prophesied Jesus' ascension into heaven, his glory. The Old Testament prophets were prophesying the saving work of Jesus, and through that prophesying, they were also prophesying the saving grace that we today experience through faith in Christ. The prophets spoke, and the prophets searched. That's what our text said. Who do you think has a better understanding of the Old Testament prophecies? Would it be the Old Testament prophets in their day? Or would it be the Christian today who is familiar with the teachings of the completed Bible? Who understood, would understand them better, the prophets back then or the Christian today? The answer is the Christian today. Jesus told us so. Luke chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." Those people who saw what Jesus did and heard what Jesus said understood the Old Testament prophecies better than did the kings and prophets of the Old Covenant. Our text for today says that the Old Testament prophets were searching, trying to figure out things about their own prophecies and wondering when and how they would be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit, who spoke through the Old Testament prophets, He knew all the details about what these prophecies meant. But the prophets themselves did not at the time. Have you ever read a novel that was so good that you decided to read it a second time? I've done that. When you read a novel a second time, you know from the beginning how everything is going to develop and how things will turn out. And have you noticed that when you do that, you usually understand the early things in the novel better than you understood them when you read the novel for the first time? Same thing with seeing a movie for the second time. When we today read the Old Testament, we know how things are going to develop. We know how things are going to turn out. And for that reason, we can understand the Old Testament better than the people of the Old Testament ever could, even the kings and the prophets. Consider two biologists who are examining a specimen through a microscope that magnifies 10 times. The first biologist looks through the microscope and gives his interpretation of what he sees. The second biologist then looks through the same microscope and gives a different interpretation with some confidence. And the first biologist asks the second biologist how he can be so confident that his interpretation is correct. And he answers that he had earlier looked at the same specimen with a microscope that magnified not 10 times, but 20 times. And with the more powerful microscope, he had previously seen the same specimen with greater clarity and in more specific detail. Well, in this illustration, the specimen represents God's promises of redemption, and the less powerful microscope represents the Old Testament scriptures, and the more powerful microscope represents the New Testament scriptures. When we are examining God's promises as found in the Old Testament scriptures, we can understand them better if we have also examined them with the help of the New Testament scriptures. Now, some people today say that you mustn't read the New Testament back into the Old Testament. Now, I heard that a lot because, as you probably know, I studied for 5 years at the most respected seminary that teaches not the old way, but the new way I now disagree with. I heard that a lot. You mustn't read the New Testament back into the Old Testament. Well, I will acknowledge there is some truth in that. We mustn't assume that people such as Abraham and David and Isaiah understood what was said in the Old Testament as well as we can understand today with the help of the New Testament. We shouldn't think that. Yet the warning not to read the New Testament back into the Old Testament is usually used in a misleading way. What they often mean, what they usually mean, is that you mustn't let the New Testament convince you that Old Testament prophecies were at times predicting things that happen in today, happen today in the church age. Well, they are mistaken in that. We must accept the New Testament's teaching that the Old Testament prophecies were at times predicting things that happen in this age, the church age. Let me share with you some better rules of thumb about interpreting the Old Testament prophets. St. Augustine of Hippo, the respected 5th century theologian, he said this: the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. He was saying that you need to let the New Testament influence your understanding of the Old Testament, because you can better understand the Old Testament with the help of the New Testament. And you will learn that much of the teaching of the New Testament is in the Old Testament as well, in a less specific and less clear form. Again, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament helps us to understand in better detail what the Old Testament is really saying. Now, my second rule of thumb is found in the Westminster Confession of Faith, and it says, the infallible rule of interpretation of Scripture is the Scripture itself. We must use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And that, of course, implies, among other things, that we should use the New Testament Scriptures to help us better understand the Old Testament Scriptures. So, if we want to understand how to interpret the prophecy of Joel, we need to study how the Apostle Peter used the prophecy of Joel on the day of Pentecost. And if we want to understand how to interpret the prophecy of Amos, we need to study how James used the prophecy of Amos at the Jerusalem Council. The prophets spoke, the prophets struggled, and the prophets served. The Old Testament prophets were serving the people of their day. Often their predictions were about events in the near future. Yet their predictions also often had fulfillments in the more distant future. Some of these fulfillments would be through the ministry of Jesus. Some of these fulfillments would be through developments in the church age. Some of these fulfillments would be in eternity. Some compare studying an Old Testament prophecy to looking at a mountain range from a distance. From a distance, the mountain range looks all connected and continuous. Yet as you travel over the mountain range, you learn that there are peaks and they're separated by wide valleys. And that's the way it sometimes is when one studies Old Testament prophecy. The various fulfillments are peaks, and they're separated by wide valleys of time. For example, an Old Testament prophecy about the New Covenant may have had some fulfillments in the near term. The prophecy may have predicted a turning away from idols and a return from captivity and a rebuilding of Jerusalem. And the New Covenant prophecies do that. Yet other elements of the prophecy were not fulfilled until Jesus completed His saving work and poured out the Holy Spirit in New Covenant fullness. And still other elements of the prophecy will not be fulfilled until Jesus returns and transforms this earth into an everlasting paradise for the people of God. Now our text for today here in 1 Peter is talking about those elements of fulfillment that the Old Testament prophets did not live to experience. In that sense, they were prophesying not for themselves, but for us. We are the ones who are living in the age of the New Covenant, when these prophecies are having a far greater fulfillment than any preliminary fulfillment during the Old Covenant times. Today, the same Holy Spirit who spoke through the prophets is speaking to people through the preaching of the gospel. These fulfillments in this age are so fascinating that even the angels desire to look into them. Jesus said that the angels in heaven rejoice every time a sinner repents. I would think that it would be rather difficult to amaze an angel, considering that they're familiar with the glories of heaven. Yet they desire to look into how God is transforming us today in this church through the preaching of God's inspired word. The angels understand much better than we do what a miracle our spiritual transformation really is. The angels understand much better than we do the sort of people that we would be apart from God's transforming grace, and the sort of people that the lost would be apart from God's common restraining grace. The angels understand much better than we do how much we have to be thankful for. There are today those who say that the Old Testament Scriptures belong to the Jews and that the New Testament Scriptures belong to the Christians. There are those today who say that the Old Testament covenants belong to the Jews and the New Testament gospel belongs to the Christians. There are those today who say that the Jews are the true seed of Abraham and that the Christians are joint heirs with Christ. No, no. The Old Testament Scriptures and covenants and promises, these today all belong to genuine Christians, whether they be by birth Gentiles or Jews. The Old Testament prophets were predicting the saving work of Jesus and the salvation that it made possible in the age in which we are now living. We won't have to wait for a future Jewish age for the fulfillment of these prophecies. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we have the privilege of living in this age, an age that the prophets predicted but did not fully understand, an age that they looked forward to but did not experience. We thank you, Lord, that we have seen things they wanted to see but did not see. We have heard things they wanted to hear but did not hear. We thank you that in the completed pages of Scripture we have the revelation that comes through Jesus Christ that gives us unprecedented clarity in this age of the new covenant. Father, give us a new appreciation for what we have been given today. Father, help us, O Lord, to read the Old Testament and see how it relates to us today, in the here and now, in this church, and in the lives that we are living. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.